So we'll start with our lecture verse. The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Well, in our world, in our world and in our country at present, things have been pretty strange lately. People are worried, they're upset, many people. Cross, angry, frightened, discouraged, and so forth are the things that have been going on, which I will not go into. We know what they are. So what can we do? What can we do? Rav Master Jiyu used to say, sometimes the world goes crazy, but eventually the pendulum swings back the other way and sanity returns. A comforting thought. And of course, sanity doesn't last forever. It also comes and goes. There are always the opposites, you know. But we can take the longer view. Everything arises, stays for a while, and eventually passes away. Nothing lasts forever. So for good or ill, there is impermanence. Sometimes it works in our favor. But in the meantime, we seem to be living in somewhat difficult times, we might say. And this is when we need to sit still and not give in to anger and to fear and despair and so forth. Not to nourish them, but to let them come and go. Don't feed our anger, no matter how justified it may seem to be. As they often say, think it's always righteous anger, it's justified, so I have a right to be angry. You're still angry, you know, and it doesn't really help. Don't let fear and worry run our lives. You know, I'm so afraid of this, what might happen? What, you know? But it's not helpful. There's enough anger and fear already. We don't need to add to it. They've got plenty to be going on with. Don't drown in the news. Don't look up doom-scrolling everything. I like that word, doom-scrolling. Wanting to know everything is happening. Every new thing it upsets. Look what they're doing now. Oh, I have to look it all up. I see it. I think, okay, off a merit, you know. It might be good to know what's going on. I like to keep an eye on what's going on, but not to drown in it, not to read everything, to get a sense of things, but not to read every little article that I might read. For one reason, one thing, I don't have the time, which is just as well, but just to kind of keep some perspective. Watch what our mind is doing when we're reading the news or listening to the news or whatever it might be. What is my mind doing here? We just had our transfer of merit ceremony. Very good thing to do. We have them quite often, as we know. I'm preaching to the converted, see, so we all know. It's something we can do to offer merit, both collectively in a ceremony like this and also individually we can offer merit. Well, I talk a lot about offering merit, as we know, because it helps other beings and it also helps us. And at the present time, there's a great need for merit in all kinds of ways. Offering merit, it helps us because it helps with those feelings of helplessness we might have. Oh God, everything's awful and there's nothing I can do. It can be depressing, you know, to say the least. In the face of the suffering we see in our world, we can offer merit. And it helps us to soften that anger and fear and despair and all that we may have. It helps with that. And as I said, we can also offer merit individually. In our own way. It can be really helpful, this is what I do, offering merit before I go to bed at night for all beings, all sorts of beings, people we may know, people close to us, and people far away, individual people, groups of people, you know. It helps to lighten the feeling of sadness that can come up. Offering blessings and merit to all beings, no matter who they may be, everybody who is in need of merit. And this includes people who may be doing harm, who might need merit more than anyone, although they may not be aware of that. And if we can offer merit to them, to people we do not may not like, we may never have met, but we may not much care for them because of things they do, if we can offer merit to them as well, it helps to dissolve that feeling of separation us versus them. We're the good guys, they're the bad guys, you know. Because if for many people, if they knew how to live in a kinder and more skillful way, maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't, but maybe they would. But we can give them the benefit of the doubt. Trust that actually in all beings, there is a heart of goodness that sometimes gets covered over with other stuff, but there's still that heart of goodness. And part of our offering of merit is offering merit to ourselves as well. We need merit also. It's not just everybody else who needs merit. We need merit too. And we deserve merit and blessings like anybody else. Everybody needs and deserves merit and blessings. No judgment, nobody left out. Nothing left out. Offering merit to ourselves is really helpful because we're in it with everybody else. We're not separate. I'm the person offering merit and they all need it. We also need merit, you know, as much as anybody. Well, sometimes we're in so much pain and turmoil that the problems of the world seem pretty far away. And secondary, our own suffering is right there in our face, and that's all we can deal with is this right now. This happens with all of us now and then. And when this is the case, we can apply our antidote in the same way, to sit still in the midst of the suffering, not to make judgments about it, not to try and push it away, to sit still in the midst of it. Not thinking we're a bad person because we're suffering, or we're failing in our practice because we're having difficulty. Everybody has difficulty sometimes. And sometimes a lot of it. We don't always see it. We may not know what other people are going through. They might look all happy and peaceful and calm. They might be having a terrible time. We don't always know. Even people close to us, we don't always know what they're going through. So to give people the benefit of the doubt, offer merit to everybody, including ourselves. And to remember that everything changes, as I said, including our own states of mind. And it can seem as though our suffering will go on forever, but it doesn't. It actually comes and goes. We can't be in a complete desperate state for every minute of the day. It's pretty awful. But in fact, it comes and goes, like our breath. It comes and goes. Just to see that. Sometimes it seems to get worse, then it gets better, then maybe it gets worse again. But nothing lasts forever. Nothing is an eternal, clamped down, permanent misery. It would just be too awful, and it's not like that. To have faith that things can actually change, they do change. We can learn from our suffering. We can learn to let go of the things that cause us to suffer, even if it takes a long time, or at least to hold them a little more lightly, not to grab on them so tightly, not to think this is the worst thing ever, or my suffering is a permanent, horrible, awful curse for me only. Not to clutch them so hard, but just consider everything changes. Everything comes, and eventually everything passes away. Just remembering that. Offering loving kindness. This is a form of meditation that is used in many Buddhist traditions. And anybody can do it. We can do it too. It's not traditional to us, but anybody can offer loving kindness. We offer merit. Offering loving kindness is a slightly, it's a related practice. And what you do is first you offer merit to yourself. May I myself have peace and be free from suffering. And then the people who are close to us, people we love, people we know well, then maybe people we're acquainted with, and strangers, and out to include all beings on this in this world, in this universe, you know. It's enormous, it's wide-ranging, it is boundless to encompass the whole world, the whole universe, and it starts with ourselves. We start offering merit for ourselves, and then we can offer merit to other beings. That's the loving-kindness practice. And again, it's a powerful practice that helps us and helps all beings. Very helpful. Recently, somebody gave me a short quotation from Julian of Norwich, of whom some of us may have heard. And many of us know this. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. As I said, many of you have heard this part before. But she goes on. For there is a force of love moving through the universe, that holds us fast and will never let us go. How's about that for a thought? Well, Julian of Norwich was a female Christian anchorite who lived in the 1300s and 1400s, a long time ago. An anchorite was somebody who lived a very simple, frugal life devoted to their religious practice in medieval times. And in particular, they'd be enclosed in a small space, like a cell, often walled in, attached to the church. They would be an anchor for people. I never thought of that. I've heard of anchorites, but it never occurred to me. You're being an anchor. You're rooting people, you know. Their cell would often be called an anchor hold. Well, an anchor hold is also what you apply to an anchor that's thrown over the side of a ship to anchor it at sea. That's an anchor hold. So the anchorite her place would be an anchor hold. She would be a refuge, a still, unmoving refuge for beings. Somebody who held that unmoving place. And both male and female anchorites, actually. But they'd be a central force in that church, holding the faith, holding fast. I just find that really impressive, you know, to live that life, to be in this little space. You don't go out walking, you know. People bring you food, and people would come and talk to you too. So it wasn't like you were cut off from everybody, because people would come and ask for advice, usually spiritual advice. But Julian would know what was going on. They had the Black Plague, you know, the Black Death. Well, it was horrible. Millions of people died. Half a population would be wiped out. So all these people would be dying and getting sick. And in the midst of that, she'd be in her cell and people would be coming to ask for advice. Because that went on for years, that Black Death. Now, it could be slightly wrong. It could be that all happened before she was in her cell. But anyway, I'm sure the effects lasted for a long time because people would lose their whole family. And there were uprisings, peasants' revolts, all kinds of other things would happen, just like us, and just the usual things that happen with humans, you know. Just everyday life, people having problems, and they'd come and talk to her. And she would be there in her cell, the anchor for people. She died in her 70s, very little is known about her, but she wrote about her spiritual experiences, and that text I just read was in there, you know. Well, she was a Christian mystic, but in Buddhism, we have parallels to Julian's words. She says, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. We have the laws of the universe that Reverend Master Ji would talk about. Without fail, evil is vanquished and good prevails. It's exactly the same thing, exactly the same thing. Because of course, people in all traditions can find the same truth. It's not just for one religion, obviously. Remembering, of course, that in Buddhism, without fail, evil is vanquished and good prevails. Evil means that which causes suffering. It's not a good and evil thing. There's a lot of suffering being created at the moment. There always is, actually, suffering being created. It's not just now, you know. All throughout history, horrible suffering has come people's way, whether intentional or unintentional, caused by somebody, just caused by hurricanes and floods and so forth, things that you can't prevent. And, as she says, as Julian says, there is a force of love moving through the universe that holds us fast and will never let us go, no matter what. No matter what we do, no matter what we think of ourselves or think of anybody else, holds us, all of us, whoever we may be, holds us fast and will never let us go. Nothing we can do about it. And we might say, we may share in the merit that fills the universe. It's the same thing, the merit, love of beings, the merit that fills the universe. And also, from great compassion comes forth the pure Dharma body, unborn, uncreated. But great compassion is a foundation. It's exactly the same thing. Goodness, great compassion, the foundation of the whole thing. The force of love, as Julian of Norwich calls it. Merit is the same thing. as the force of love, sharing the merit that fills the universe. Force of love moving through the universe. Same thing. The force of goodness, of compassion. It's always here. It holds us fast and will never let us go, no matter who we may be, as I said. No matter what we may think of ourselves or anybody else, no matter what it looks like, holds all of us fast. The law of karma is compassion. It may look really awful. Great suffering can happen. And it's easy to say, oh, well, these people are suffering. They'll get better. They'll learn from it. It's not that. It's deeper than that. Deeper than any opinion or deeper than our own little view. But there's something profound, vast, compassionate at the bottom of it all. And we can trust that. It's always here. It's stronger than hate and selfishness and greed and ignorance and all that. And Julia knew this all those centuries ago when she would see greed and hatred and ignorance and stuff, because people don't change that much, you know. But in her own religion, in a different time, same thing, and we can know it too. And if we feel we don't know it yet, we don't have that sense of the compassionate force moving through the universe, we don't need to worry or think we're cut off from it. No matter what we may think, we're still part of it. We can entrust ourselves to it. We can cultivate faith in it. We can do that. And we can keep offering merit to ourselves and other beings. That is how we help to practice that love that moves through the universe, that merit that fills the universe, offering that merit, because it's not ours. It comes through us to other beings. It's not our own personal little private merit. It just comes through us, and we offer it to all beings, no matter what, no matter who, no matter what we may think of them or we may think of ourselves. All of us need, deserve, and can offer merit. We see goodness and kindness going on all around us. It's not just awful, you know. And we try to practice goodness and kindness ourselves. We're all trying to do our best. Maybe all beings are trying to do their best. Doesn't always look like it, but who are we to judge? Human beings are part of Buddha nature. How could we not be? And how could there not be goodness and kindness in all of us? Because we all have Buddha nature, no matter what it looks like, as I said. Buddhism teaches us that all beings will eventually become Buddha. Even Devadatta, the Buddha said, he'll become a Buddha eventually. It might take a little while, but when he falls into the Avicii hell, having tried to kill the Buddha and done all kinds of dreadful things, he'll eventually become a Buddha. So we all will do that. All beings. Might take a while, but everybody has that potential for goodness, for compassion and wisdom, for kindness. And let us never lose sight of that as we do our best to practice these things ourselves in this Saha world. To samsara, after all, we just do our best to help. That's it.